Before I begin, a little housekeeping kind of announcement. Yesterday evening, not everybody was here, but Nityananda Pran announced there's some adjustments in the schedule from what we've done in the past this time. One is the timing of the class, and has to do with the deity worship, and so we're having the class now. And another very important part, not a detail, but a very important element of the schedule is some common service together. Remember from the last Gitanagari retreat, there was a topic. The topic was expanding the network of loving relationships. So, relationships in Krishna consciousness, there's this phrase, this kind of ISKCON phrase, they're suspended on common service together. When you do common service, you come to associate with others. And when you associate with others, then there's opportunity for building a relationship and getting to know one another like that. So, the organizers of this event that have been serving all of you here and there, by the way, they were here a week ago to make sure things were in order and clean and stuff. So they found, by doing that common service together, their relationships have grown and grown and strengthened and deepened. And so, rather than, we looked at three models. One model, just keep doing things the same way. But there's a lot of pressure on a few people. And the devotees would go by those few people and say, "Oh, you have such a nice service attitude. I'm running for class now. See you later." So we could just keep doing that. And then we looked at the possibility of, well, it'd be nice that all the devotees can attend all the classes. So maybe we could hire some people to come and serve us so we can attend the classes. And then we thought of another model, which is the model of, let's do some common service together. And that way strengthen our relationships with one another. So you'll notice, please notice if you haven't already, and you'll hear it again a few times. In the schedule, sometime after lunch and before the rest of the afternoon, there's a nice hour for everybody to do some service together. Some will do this and some will do that, some will do the other thing. For an hour. So, just like, I'm sure you won't miss prasadam, and I'm sure you won't miss taking your bath in the morning, and I'm sure you won't miss taking rest at night, so also don't miss this 1 hour of service together. You'll see. It's very nice. That's it. That's the housekeeping. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 10. There it is, text 11. Maitreya uvacha, guna vyatak karakaro, nibhishesho pratishtitaha, purushastad upadhanam, atmanam nilaya srijat. Maitreya uvacha, gunavyati karakaro, nirvishesho pratishtataha, Purushastad upadhanam Atmanam lilaya srijat. Vyatikara, of the interactions of the modes of material nature. Akara, source. Nirvishesha, without diversity. Apatishtaha, unlimited. Purushaha, of the Supreme Person. Tat, that. Upadananam, instrument. Atmanam, the material creation. Lilaya, by pastimes. Astrajat, created. Translation, Maitreya said, eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. Eternal time. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes of material creation. So, maybe this isn't so good that the first class is going to be challenging, but I challenge you. Listen carefully, because what I'm going to attempt to do in this class is explain time, because our topic is using time in Krishna's service. But what's time? It's 7:18. That's what time it is. That's one way of thinking time. Or it's May, whatever it is, 2013. That's what time it is. So our concept of time, I've done a little survey. Ask people, what is time? They don't have a whole lot to say about it. Well, there's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, time I am, destroyer of all things. Okay, what else? It's 7:19. But as this slide shows, hopefully, there are, as we know, those of you that have studied Bhagavad Gita know there are five main topics, according to Baladeva Vidyabhusan, five main topics in the Srimad, in the Bhagavad Gita. And we know a lot about the other four, except we don't know so much about time. And our topic is using time in Krishna service. So what the heck is time anyway? And how do we use it in Krishna service? So I'm starting with what the heck is time anyway. That part. And it's a fascinating subject matter. And it's a very deep subject matter. And if you're tired, you're going to miss the whole thing. Because it's very, very deep. So you have to be, I'm encouraging you, inviting you, challenging you. Listen very carefully. Because Srimad Bhagavatam discloses some very deep things about our subject matter for this weekend. What is time? Listen carefully. Because Maitreya is answering Vidura's question, the previous verse. Maitreya, O my Lord, O greatly learned sage, kindly describe eternal time, which is another form of the Supreme Lord, the wonderful actor. What are the symptoms of that eternal time? Please describe them to us in detail. In detail. So get ready for some detail. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Each sentence we could have a separate class on. So listen carefully. The impersonal time factor, is the background of the material manifestation as an instrument of the Supreme Lord. It is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. No one knows where time began and where it ends, and it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. This time factor is the material cause of creation and is therefore a self-expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. Got it, right? There's a lot. Then there's another paragraph. The time factor is also explained by modern men in various ways. Some accept it as it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, the Hebrew literature. In Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It's 7:23. Different conceptions, yes? It is stated therein, he quotes the Hebrew scripture, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers of the prophets. So, God, in sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in time past. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Metaphysically. Like, all of this is deep. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. Time. All these definitions. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change, and life of a particular object. Relative time. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. Time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. Pandita Chanakya says that even a slight fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars, and therefore even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in life. Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. Wow. And there's another paragraph. Therefore, Jiva Goswami concludes that the time factor is intermixed with the activities, karma, actions and reactions of the external energy of the Lord. Time and karma mix, or time and prakriti mix and make karma, along with the living entities, the jivas, and God. The external energy, that one down in the lower right corner, the external energy or material nature works under the superintendence of the time factor as the Lord Himself. Superintendence. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. So Krishna adhyaksha, He oversees, but He oversees through the agency of time. And time moves matter according to the desire and the deserve of the living entity. Time moves differently for different entities according to their consciousness and, you know, their guna and karma. And that is why material nature appears to have produced so many wonderful things in the cosmic manifestation. Bhagavad Gita confirms this conclusion as follows. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hetunani na kaunteya jagaddi parivartate. End of purport. Any questions? I'll read the verse again. Eternal time is the primeval source of the interaction of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pastimes in the material creation. When we think of past, there's so many things to say, and it's limited time to say it all. We think of pastimes as activities that Krishna performs in the spiritual world, or He enters this world and performs pastimes, like He lifts Govardhan Hill. Pastime. Mother Jasoda binds Krishna with rope. Damodar Leela. There's so many nice Rasa Leela, so many nice Leelas. We don't normally think of material creation as a Leela, but this verse is very clearly saying it's a Leela. The creation is a Leela. In the language of Bhaktisiddhanta and Brahma Samhita, it's a corollary Leela. Meaning it's secondary. There's primary and there's secondary. So it's an important, but it's a secondary one. Because in comparison with the primary, the Lord's enjoying with his internal potency and through that manifesting various Leelas. Then there's the material creation, a subordinate or corollary function. But for that corollary function, time is essential. So, I want to read one more verse from the Bhagavatam, this last reference from the Bhagavatam directly. You can look the verse up later if you like. It's Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 18. Again, in the process of creation, again, it's Maitreya speaking to Vidura. No, excuse me. This is Kardama Muni speaking to Lord Vishnu. He's offering prayers. It's toward the end of his prayers. Kardama Muni, on the order of Lord Brahma, his father, went to the forest. Well, he said, help me with producing good praja. So the answer was, yes, sir. And to assist him, he first wanted to qualify himself by becoming purified so that he could produce good praja. So he spent 10,000 years doing that. And in the course of achieving perfection in the dhyana yoga process, or the meditation process combined with hearing about the Supreme Lord and fixing his mind upon the Supreme Lord, he appeared. Beautiful description of his form, beautiful prayers. Towards the end of his prayers is this one. Speaking about time. Your wheel, like shh, right? Sudarshan. Wheel. Which has three knaves. What's a knave? Had to look it up in the dictionary. It's not a word that we use normally. The application here is phases of time, past, present, future. In architecture, it means where we are right now, the hall, the kirtan hall. In the Catholic Church, there's the entrance door over there, and there's the altar over here, and the inside, the vestibule, is like where people first walk in, and then they walk into the nave, like the assembly area. So, there's three phases of time, past, present, and future, and they're naves to approach Krishna, who's functioning in eternal time. And it's where what you do when you're not in eternal time. You're in one of those naves, past, present, future, moved by this wheel of time. So your wheel, which has three naves, rotates around the axis of the impersonal Brahman. What's the impersonal Brahman? One way of describing what it is, it's the Sat feature of Satchitananda. Sat means it exists, or eternal existence. And Chit means knowledge, and Ananda means pleasure, and the spiritual world has all three features. But that feature which is Sat alone, that's the impersonal Brahman. Then the Paramatma, then the Bhagavan feature. So we know that the Sat feature is resting upon Bhagavan. Brahmano hi pratishta aham. So behind, as you're hearing this, behind the impersonal Brahman is Krishna, the personal feature. But time, the wheel of time is moving on the axis of impersonal Brahman, which is resting upon the personality of Godhead. Now just read similarly in the purport. Time is compared to the time factor is divided into many fractions of moments, hours, months, years, periods, seasons, etc. There's circles of time, and there are different measures of those circles of time. Because the Vedic picture of time, at least the worldly kind, is cyclical. You know, past, present, and future, and then repeats itself. Seasons, days, morning and night, years, yugas, just keep going. Divya yugas, and just keep going. There's circles of time. We'll hear about it before we're done. So the measures of time, behind those measures of time, there's eternal time. All these divisions in this verse are determined according to astronomical calculations of Vedic literature. There are six seasons. Here we have four, but in India there's six, called ritus. And there are periods of 4 months called chatur masya. Three periods of 4 months completes 1 year. 3 times 4 is 12. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, there are 13 months. The 13th month is called Adi Masya or Mala Masya, and it is added every third year. Circle, circle. Add another month in the circle. Circle. And just time is cyclical. Different ways of measuring it. I'm going to, behind it is eternal time. It's a wheel that's moving on sat. But it's creating a sat in different measures. It's now 12:36 or 7:36. Tick, 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 tick. Those are seconds. And there are different measures of time. Time is compared here to a big wheel which has 360 joints, like spokes. Six rims, that's the six seasons. In the shape of seasons. And numberless leaves in the shape of moments. It rotates on the eternal existence, Brahman. Om Tat Sat. Okay, so we have, I'll try to take some of this and break it down a little bit. We have a picture of eternal time, and we'll call it temporal time, or time as we know it. And I hope this has it correct. Yeah. Just as there is one energy, Prabhupada uses this example, electric energy. For an electrician, he can use electricity to make things hot or make things cold, depends upon the electrician. He knows the science, how to make things hot or cold. But it's one energy, electrical energy. Prabhupada explains, similarly, the Lord has his potency, his internal potency. And by his will, his internal potency can act this way, or his internal potency can act in a different way, like creating the illusion of time and happiness and material objects, that now you see him, now you don't, like a magician. Here's a hat, nothing in the hat, pull the rabbit out of the hat, put the rabbit back in the hat. There's no rabbit. What happened? He just pulls a rabbit out of the hat. Krishna is a magician. That which appears, that which doesn't exist, then appears for some time and then disappears. He does all that through the agency of time. So this is a nice painting of the pastime of our friend Kamsa, who wanted to kill the eighth child of Devaki. And as he took the child by the legs and was ready to smash the child on a rock, the child slipped from his hands. This was Yoga Maya, if you remember from the past time. And then she took the form of Durga. Yes? And Durga said, you know, pretty heavy things to Kamsa. You're such a fool! And he took it. Because he was. And she was more powerful than he was. So, this is one energy, Yoga Maya, manifesting a feature of Durga. One energy manifesting this or manifesting that. So within the internal potency is the capacity to manifest according to Krishna's will, Durga, the material energy. Similarly, time, as we heard from the purport, this wonderful purport, is a direct manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Time I am, but time is also a Shakti. In that sense, the inseparable nature of energetic and energy, the oneness of energetic and energy. In that sense, time I am, acting as an agent of Krishna. In that verse, Krishna speaks of destroying time I am, the destroyer of all things. Time does things other than destroy. Time brings things into being when there is just prakriti or pradhan or material nature. So time brings things into being. Time destroys things that are existing. And then there's, you know, maintenance. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. Phases of time. Like, take the temple room. Those of us that were visiting here some time ago, this didn't exist. And then there was a desire, a wish, an inspiration, a vision. Let's build a temple. Now here's a beautiful temple. We're using it every year. Nice temple. Very nice temple. And one day, it's going to be gone. So it was created by time. There was a person, but you know, without the time energy, you can't even do anything. And then in one day, it'll be destroyed. And what we can say, as we're sitting here right now, it's now 7:42, it's being destroyed. We don't see it destroyed, but it's being destroyed by time. And then there's the maintenance feature. The maintenance is supervised by Vishnu. And Vishnu knows eternal time. But depending upon how far you get from Vishnu, like these increments of time, then things become destroyed more quickly. Like we'll take the fan in the ceiling. There is an axis which the fan spins on. And the part of the fan that's closer to the axis spins slower. The part that's further away from the axis spins a lot faster. So the closer we get to the axis, we get closer to eternal time. Closer and closer and closer. So what are we supposed to do in using time in Krishna's service? We're supposed to, like, think of Krishna, right? It's one of the things that we do with our time is always, always think of Krishna. And we do another thing. We don't forget Krishna. Smartavya Satyatam Vishnur. We should always think of Krishna. Never, and that brings us closer to Krishna. eternal time. And they'll go the other way. Don't use your time thinking of Krishna. The further you go from thought of Krishna, time acts differently. Things get destroyed faster. Consciousness is covered more. The destructive mode becomes more prominent as opposed to the goodness mode. So that's a very, like, if you forget everything else about what I am speaking this morning, remember this one. Always remember Krishna. Use your time in such a way that will bring you to always remember Krishna, because that's eternal time. And the less you'll experience the other kind. Like, there's going to be lots of devotees speaking over this weekend about time management and using your time, because it's our topic, using your time in Krishna's service. It's the idea, fundamental ideas get closer to eternal time. And things get destroyed slower. You have more time if you think of Krishna. There was some discussion just before coming here about one devotee that's just finished their first year of undergraduate college, and they're like, whew, just finished their exams, and it's like laboring and late. It's like their whole consciousness absorbed in using time in a maximum way for a study, and you know, there's not enough time, you know. So there's so many other men. We're busy. Nityananda Pran is going to speak on that topic. So busy, there's no time. How do you use time so that you have time? Essential. I'll just say it one more time. Whatever you do, think of Krishna. And then when you think, because that's a force, the time force that carries you to Krishna. And then things are more peaceful. Time moves it. Time acts differently upon you than it does if you forget Krishna. It just works that way. Okay. So this is just to show that the one time, just as Yogamaya becomes Durga, eternal time becomes temporal time if we have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Here's a image of Simantani. Some of you have been to Mayapur. We went to Mayapur Yatra and we visited the Simantani temple. So here's a little story behind Simantani that connects with our topic. Simantani is one of the names of Durga. Durga, or Parvati, saw Lord Shiva laughing and dancing and singing and jumping and calling the name Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And she asked, "My dear husband, what's this? I've never seen you like this before. What's this Gauranga?" And he described, it's a form of the personality of Godhead who's going to appear and distribute love of God throughout the whole world. And he resides in Navadvip, so she decided she wanted to go there, to Navadvip, and perform austerities and encounter this Gauranga. And Gauranga came before her. And with folded hands, she offered some prayers to him and said, "I have this unpleasant task of keeping people away from the spiritual world." And no one ever says thank you. "And I also cannot enter the spiritual world, and you know, please relieve me of this anxiety." So very kindly he took some dust from his feet and placed the dust in the part of Parvati's Simanta, the part of her hair, and thus her name, Simantani. And then he said the following: "O Supreme Goddess, listen carefully to my words. You are my energy. You are not separate or different from me. My one energy has two forms. Within the spiritual kingdom, my original energy has one form, as Sri Radha. But for carrying out activities in the material world, she has expanded herself as you. Without you, my Leela, remember this verse on the board, my Leela could not be accomplished. For in my form as Yogamaya, you are necessary in my pastimes. In Vraja, you are eternally present as Purnamasi, and in Navadvip, you're present as Prodamaya, along with Kshetrapal Lord Shiva, guardian of the Dham. One energy acting in two different ways according to the Leela of the Lord. So you have access to the spiritual world, Parvati, in your form as Radha. And you are an expansion of her for the purpose of my other Leela, this creation Leela. And you assist me as guardians of the Dham in Navadvip. So the internal energy acting as the external energy. Similarly, eternal time, depending upon our regard for the personality of Godhead, can act in a different way. She is an expansion of Him. Okay. Little pause. Now I'm going to describe something that was in the purport that we read, mentioned three times, about how time acts to assist the Supreme Lord in the process of creation. And listen carefully, because I'm going to describe four ways. This is just like the action of time upon us. And then it will help us understand how to use time in Krishna's service. So time serves Krishna to create the material world and to withdraw the material world and to maintain the material world. Three phases of time. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the process of creation is described in this way. Lord Vishnu, during the cosmic annihilation, is enjoying with his internal potency, his eternal Leela, with his internal potency. And he's doing that even during the cosmic manifestation, but during the annihilation period, that's what he's doing. And then in the course of that, he's considering two things. The living entities who are dormant within my body, Mahavishnu's body. I wish to relieve them of their covered condition and restore them to their uncovered, happy, blissful condition of loving association with me. What's one desire? So it's a purpose of creation. Second, he considers the shadow of his internal potency, known by different names. One of them is Chaya Devi, or Durga Devi, or Maya Devi. She doesn't have anything to do, and she wants something to do. I compassionately wish to give her something to do. Two purposes. So what does he do? He glances. That's all he does. He doesn't directly contact, specifically. He, the personality of Godhead, never directly contacts matter. He simply glances. And with his glance, according to Brahma Samhita and Srimad Bhagavatam, two things happen. Rama. Who is Rama? That's the internal potency of Mahavishnu. Like Lakshmi is to Narayan, or Sita is to Ram, or Radha is to Krishna. Rama is the name of the internal potency of Mahavishnu. She, being intimately connected with her eternal master, Mahavishnu, she understands his desire. He didn't do anything, he just desired. But she knows his desire. Those who are married, you know what I'm talking about. The wife can understand, because of that intimate connection with husband, the intention and the desire of the husband. And her desire is his desire. And so she, Rama, serves his desire. How does she do that? She transforms one of her unlimited potencies, one of them being eternal time, in the form of this kind of time, the kind of time that's necessary for creation. Under the Lord's will, just like Yogamaya becomes Durga, eternal time becomes this kind of time, Kala, Akala Shakti. So she entrusts this Kala Shakti and the living entities who are within the body of Mahavishnu to the glance. The glance is personified, and his name is Shambhu. So she entrusts time, energy, and the living entities to be carried to the external energy or the shadow energy of his internal potency. Little detail. When the jivas and time contact this pradhan, or the unmanifested totality, undifferentiated substance of matter, something happens. It becomes activated. And when it becomes activated, the elements start to separate out. 24 of them. And the modes of nature, which are dormant, become activated. Mentioned in this verse, they become activated by the time energy. In Sri Brahma Samhita, when you read it carefully, you'll see that this time energy is broken down. Time energy has two components, Kriya Shakti and Ichha Shakti. In Bhaktisiddhanta's language, Kriya Shakti is the force of activity. So like right now, the living entities are dormant. So they need some force to get animated. So Kriya Shakti is the Lord's energy, without which the living entities can't do anything. We can't get up and walk across the floor without Kriya Shakti, which is a part of the time energy. And Ichha Shakti. This means the Lord's desire, because he desires creation. So Rama exhibits her Ichha Shakti, the component of time, and matter starts to become activated. So time, we'll come back to eternal time over here. That's what we're supposed to be doing anyway, is coming to eternal time. But we use this temporary time to get to the eternal time. Like Prabhupada gives the example, using a thorn to remove a thorn. You've heard that one before? You have a thorn. You can use the thorn to remove a thorn. You can use this temporary time to reach, again, eternal time, if you know how to do it. If you're under proper guidance and devotional teachings. So that's one. That's the first of the time energy. Okay, so now over here, this is creation and how time affects creation. So now it's not just the unmanifested state of pradhan, but now we have all these 24 elements. 24 elements. Amongst them are the five great elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So then, now comes the second part of how time works. From the body of Mahavishnu, he has a big body, because in the pores of his skin are seeds. And those seeds are spiritual by contact with his body, and then he exhales. And as he exhales, those seeds of universes enter into this Mahatattva. And the Mahatattva, the elements, enlarge the seeds and they start to grow and grow and grow. And then Mahavishnu expands. Bhaktisiddhanta's language is prototype demigods who oversee those primary elements that are expanding the size of the universes. That's just the coverings of the universe. There's nothing inside, it's just a seed with a covering. The Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, says those demigods, they can't cooperate. They've got their own program, and they don't cooperate with the other elements to do what creation is supposed to do. So they pray to the Supreme Lord, help, basically. And then what happens next is hearing Mahavishnu, hearing the prayer of the demigods, he expands as Shiro Dakshayi Vishnu enters within each element and each atom of those elements along with his time energy and his Gyan Shakti so that the elements can then work together. The prototype demigods can start to perform the function of creation. Time energy, once again, is essential. Then there's a third. So now we have the elements cooperating by the influence of Paramatma. Then the personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, expands as Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu into each universe. As you see, there he is within each universe. And as he enters into each of those universes, he takes with him some percentage or some portion of the total living entities that were previously in the body of Mahavishnu, and he takes them with him into the universe. And then he considers these living entities. They have their desires, but they're unable to fulfill their desires without my assistance. And so by his desire, again, the time energy acts to awaken their karma, because until then, karma or activity was dormant. If you remember, time interacts with activity, with material nature to create activity. So now karma is awakened. All that stuff was dormant. So now the final action of time. So there's creation and things are going on and Brahma's building things and the universe is going on and time is bringing things into being and destroying things. And then comes the annihilation. So this is the fourth one of time. Mahavishnu, by desiring that creation be withdrawn, Rama Devi withdraws her expanded time energy back again to the phase of eternal time. And that's the cosmic annihilation. And it's in detail discussed in the 12th canto. And it's like, so he inhales. And with it in the time energy and everything, the elements go back to their pradhan state. The living entities again enter into the body of Mahavishnu. This temporary time becomes again situated as eternal time. And the show's over. Everyone can go home. Actually, just go to sleep. Because that's the susupti state, when the living entities are, for the equal period of creation, they're now in a dormant state within the body of Mahavishnu. That's the time energy. As far as the process of creation and destruction, and now comes again the maintenance. The maintenance, as we know, that the deities of Brahma, the creator, Lord Shiva, the destroyer, the maintainer is Lord Vishnu. So those who take shelter of Lord Vishnu approach goodness and they approach eternal time. That's our teaching. Engage in service to Lord Vishnu. Always think of Vishnu or Krishna. Approach again through the agency of the internal potency, eternal existence, eternal pastimes of the Lord. Enter into the spiritual world to become an eternal, once again, an eternal associate of the personality of Godhead. That's how we should use time. So we use the thorn to remove the thorn. We, like the fan, we get closer and closer to the axis upon which the wheel of time is spinning, the wheel of time that destroys everything, the wheel of time that brings everything into being. And for a while, it looks like it's real. Here's the temple. And although we know before it didn't exist and after some time it's not going to exist, or this body, or whatever you want to think of, our desires. You know, I got this desire and I get all invested in this desire. And there's a time when it didn't exist and there's a time when it's going to not exist, and now it's all important to me. Rather than thinking of eternal time, what is Krishna's desire, and how to use this body and use my mind and use my capacity to desire something in his service? That's how we're supposed to use time and the products of time. So all the while, there's this eternal realm while Mahavishnu is doing the creation and then maintenance and dissolution. There's the spiritual world, which is, so everything is emanating ultimately from Krishna. And our teaching is very, very high. We're advised in a very simple way to approach Krishna. And how do we do that? Through sound vibration. That's the Vedic system. Kirtan, japa, hearing of the scriptures, spiritual sound vibration, absorbing ourselves in the process of hearing and chanting as the foundation or basis of bhakti or Bhagavad Dharma. That's how we use our time. And then we do other things that are dealing with the material energy. And if you've done your hearing and chanting nicely, then those activities become as purifying as the direct activities of bhakti, because you've joined them with hearing and chanting. And so now you're closer to the axis upon which time is spinning. Now, here's a few more thoughts. Here's some from that chapter. There's a chapter in the Bhagavatam that's kind of an out-of-sight chapter. It's creation, calculation of time by the atom. It's another deep subject. This is one slide touching on that chapter. Here's some statements that Prabhupada makes about time. It sounds like Einstein. Time and space are two correlative terms. Time is measured in terms of it's covering a certain space of atoms. Standard time is calculated in terms of the movement of the sun. The time covered by the sun passing over an atom is calculated as atomic time. Any questions? You've heard of atomic clocks, right? Atomic clocks. Vedic picture of time is the time is what it takes for the sun to cross an atom. That's the smallest unit of time. Listen to this. The atom is the minute, subtle form of eternal time. Don't ask me to explain it. The upper is time and space are two correlative terms. One is calculated in terms of the other. But time, invested into prakriti, creates separate elements. The smallest unit of the elements is an atom. So what's an atom? The definition in the Bhagavatam is the smallest indivisible unit of matter. That's what an atom is. So time injected into pradhan brings about atoms. The atom is the minute, subtle form of eternal time, which is more subtle than atoms. All the planets are of different types, and each is controlled by a different Kala Chakra, or schedule of eternal time. Eternal time is moving temporal time. So again, like the axis, the fan, because there's an axis, and there's the blades of the fan, depending upon where you are on the blade of the fan, you're going to spin. According to how close or how far away you are from Krishna, you're going to spin. You better be packed up with Krishna. Otherwise, you're going to spin. Come into being and go out of being and try to be happy in between. And you get dizzy. And there's different, according to the higher, lower position, the planets are according to the modes of nature. Lower planets, ignorance. Middle planets, passion. Upper planets, goodness. Bhagavad Gita teaches it, isn't it? Exactly like that. Time acts differently in those different positions. There's a different Kala Chakra, or schedule of eternal time. Eternal time is never lost along with the life of Brahma. Brahma's life is lost. But when Brahma's life is lost, eternal time is never lost. It continues. But it has no ability to control the Supreme Personality of Godhead because the Lord is the controller of time. In the spiritual world, there is undoubtedly time. But it has no control over activities. Time is unlimited. And the spiritual world is also unlimited, since everything there exists on the absolute plane. So pictures, we have eternal time. Eternal time is transformed by the will of Mahavishnu into this other kind, and differently situated according to, you know, guna and karma and our position. And if we're, you know, guna and karma determines the body that we're in, body determines our desires. Like Bhagavad Gita describes, you get the body of a demigod, you think like a demigod. You get the body of a dog, you wag your tail and bark. Because the body that you have, and chew on bones. Because that's what dogs do. You got a body. Now what do? We got one. Fortunately, it's a human form. So we have enough capacity, discrimination capacity, to use it in Krishna's service. Use it in Krishna's service. It brings you to eternal time. It takes you beyond limitations of matter and temporal time, which are interrelated. Time and space are interrelated. Almost done. What's next? This is again from it's a chart taken from Canto 3, Chapter 11. Prabhupada presents a timetable. The table of timings in terms of the modern clock, he calls it. So first, again, there's the smallest unit of time. Time covered by the sun passing over one atom. Smallest unit of time. And then the next is a truti. That's the time needed to integrate 18 three hexagonal atoms. So one of the things that time does is it brings things together. The language of Bhaktisiddhanta in Sri Brahma Samhita is conglomerate. When you read it, you'll be like, what's that word? The non-application of the conglomeration factor. What's that? Time is the conglomerating factor. And when time is absent, stuff doesn't happen. Although there's atoms. So we need this other factor of time, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, the application of time, and then time brings three hexagonal atoms, or 18 atoms, together. How long does it take? It takes one truti. And so many trutis makes a Veda. That's 8/135 of a second. So many trutis makes a Lava. Lava Matra Sada Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. One fraction of a second association with the devotees can give all perfection. That's 8/45 of a second. Then nimesha, yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravasa. So one nimesha, a separation from Krishna, seems to be millions of years. Nimesha is 8/15. It's almost, well, it's a little over a half a second. A little over a half a second separation from Krishna. For those who are situated in eternal time, seems like eternal time. And then, you know, it keeps going. So, 8 seconds. Here's one that's over 1 second. One kshana, and a kashta, and a laghu, and a danda. Okay. A danda is 30 minutes. And prahara is so many minutes. 3 hours. And then one day is 12 hours, and one night is 12 hours, and one paksha is fortnight. You know, the British use that term, and the Vedas use the term. You know, the phases of the moon in 15 days. That's one paksha. Two pakshas comprise 1 month. And 12, this is quoting now from Bhagavatam, this chapter. And 12 months comprise one calendar year, or one full orbit of the sun, allowing that there's 13 months every, the 13th month every 3 years. A human being is expected to live up to 100 years. That is the way of controlling measure of eternal time. All planets are of different types, and each is controlled by a different Kala Chakra. We quoted that already, or scheduled time. So now, that's a life of a human being. So a life of a Manu is 71 times the 4 yuga cycles. And Brahma is 14 Manus, or 1,000 times those many yuga, those many years, or one yuga cycle, 1,000 yuga cycles. So that's for a day of Brahma. Brahma's life is 4.3 billion times 2 times 360 years, or 2 halves, or 2 parardhas. That's equal to 1 nimesha of the Supreme Lord. Time. Eternal time is certainly the controller of different dimensions, from that of the atom up to the superdivisions of the duration of Brahma's life. And I can't read that because of the light switch. Something. It is controlled by the Supreme. But nevertheless, it is controlled by the Supreme. Time can control only those who are body conscious. So give up the conception of the body. Even up to the Satyaloka or the other higher planets of the universe. So built into our teaching, thank you, you can put it down, built into our teaching is giving up the bodily conception of life, taking on the spiritual conception of life, so that time doesn't act on you the way that it acts on those that identify with the body. Time acts differently for those who are Krishna conscious. But you can't be Krishna conscious and maintain bodily conception of life. They don't go together. It's pouring water on a fire. They don't go together. So relinquish the bodily conception, take the spiritual conception, and engage your time in Krishna service. The end. We have 14 minutes till deity greeting. So that's a lot of information. So I'll just summarize. I'll try. Everything comes from Krishna. In Krishna Loka, in Krishna's world, everything is eternal. His pastimes are eternal. There are some living entities that are rebellious, like us. So this other realm is created, the realm of Maya, for the purpose of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, which is impossible, or rectifying that condition to enjoy in relation to Krishna. So we just need to see things in relation to Krishna, because he's the source, and time as an opportunity to serve Krishna. We have different duties depending upon our situations of life. A young person a renunciate person, a married person, you know, guna and karma, and our varna and ashram, and all those diversities that are part of creation. Time is something that's universal for all of us. We are to use it in Krishna's service, appropriate for our position. And by doing so, we can connect with Krishna. The purpose of creation is that, connect with Krishna. And rejoin with Krishna in eternal pastimes with Him. That is His desire. So let us fulfill His desire by doing that. Time will act differently depending upon how we see that opportunity or don't. That temporary time is an expansion of Rama Devi as her aspect of eternal time, and it acts upon us for the purpose of creation. If we get the theme of this weekend properly, if we can use time in Krishna's service, time acts as a spiritualizing force in our life, matter acts as a spiritualizing force in our life, if we use time in Krishna's service. That time, that matter becomes now acting as if it's internal potency. It becomes spiritualized by contact with bhakti and using time in Krishna's service. And it will carry us once again to the realm of eternal time. So I expect, what I wanted to do in this class is, granted a little, like a lot, and it's a little technical and those kinds of things, but it's the foundation of time. What is time? What is it that we're attempting to use in Krishna's service? And there are different ways of looking at what time is. I've tried to share some of them on the strength of authoritative scripture. And so this weekend is a weekend of exploring how to use time in Krishna's service. Any comments or questions? Yes. Do we have a portable microphone? We sure do. Very interactive. Okay, speak loud.
Thank you for the class.
I have a request. At the end, when it comes to questions, please leave off the thank you for the class part. It'll save time. Go ahead.
Maharaj, when the soul is in susupti state...
Speak louder.
When the soul is in susupti state...
When the soul is in a susupti state...
What is the benefit of the soul in being in such a state? Because I understand it is for the same time as it is in the elevatable soul.
Yes. What's the benefit while we're in deep sleep? There isn't. There isn't any benefit while we're in the other kind, either.
I understand that is for very long time, same time.
Yes, long time, very long time, very, very long time. It's part of the consequence for misuse of free will. You can ask the same question in a different way. What's the use of suffering? Because in the material world, we're suffering. In the susupti state, we're not suffering. We're not doing anything. There's no benefit either way. But it's the consequence of our misuse of free will. And Krishna doesn't like that. We did it. He doesn't like it. He wants, compassionately, wants to give us a chance to, like, do it properly. So here we are with the chance to do it properly. Please, do it properly. Avoid the susupti condition. And the other ones too. So Someone raise their hand who has a question? Okay, Mahamantra. We have 6 minutes.
Guru Maharaj, the summary what I heard is, the matter is never a matter for devotee. Is that correct, Guru Maharaj?
I don't know. I never heard that one before. This matter is not a matter for devotees.
Yes.
It sounds like a cliche, a clever cliche, but it means, you know, we can use Krishna's energy in Krishna's service, and so it's not a big deal to see it as, oh, that's awful, it's matter. It's cringe and stay away. We see it as an opportunity to serve Krishna. Okay?
So, like, the time, eternal time, by Ichashakti.
Eternal time what?
By Ichashakti of Rama.
Ichashakti.
Icha Shakti, okay.
So it has acquired a temporal nature, and then when it reaches.
We have to use language very carefully. Temporal is also eternal. So there's the Lord has desire in the spiritual world, and Icha Shakti is the operative in the spiritual world. And then there's another corollary, secondary aspect of his desire to give living entities an opportunity to return to him. That's a corollary function. But it's also his Icha Shakti. Are you done?
So, at the time of annihilation, the matter also acquires its original state of spirituality.
It's eternally transmutable. Have you noticed? Nothing stays. So you can't say the original is this. It's always in flux. From the pradhan state to the mahatattva state to the creation to withdraw back to the pradhan state, resting for some time, again creation. Endlessly mutable. So you want to say, you know, this is the beginning of something that's endless. I say you can't do that. It's endlessly mutable. Okay. Someone else? Back there? We have 4 minutes.
Goodbye. Eternal time.
Eternal time.
Appeared in the Prabhupada's lecture about reality.
About?
Relativity.
Relativity, okay.
Like human beings, 100 years today, in ants, in one day they have a vast possibility.
Yes, okay.
Four times, appeared this lecture.
Okay.
Is the eternal time is related to us, or is it absolute?
It's related to us, and it is absolute. Because we're spirit souls. We're eternal. But because of misuse of free will, we're covered. So we're relating to the other kind of, the lesser aspect of time. And we're identifying with it. We have 3 minutes. We have to use it very carefully in Krishna's service. And that brings you to the spiritual platform of eternal time. We're using temporal time in Krishna's service, which brings us closer to eternal time. Both aspects are operating. But that temporal time acts in a spiritualizing way. That was the concluding remark. If we use it properly. It acts like eternal time acts. It brings us to the eternal pastimes of Krishna. It's mystical. Any other questions? Okay. Very good. We'll end so we can greet the deities. Shri Prabhupada ki.